from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum, we preview today's Golden State Warriors Championship Parade in Oakland with sports writer C.W. Nevius. Later in the hour, author Mark Lukacs' happy marriage was upended when his wife Julia suffered a severe psychotic break at age 27.
And then she started having delusions and talking about God and the devil and about how she was the devil and had to protect me. And so I took her to the hospital, and after about 6 hours of waiting around, they admitted her to the psych ward.
Coming up, Mark Lukacs joins us to talk about his new memoir, My Lovely Wife in the Psych Ward. That's next, after the news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. On Friday, the Golden State Warriors defeated the Cleveland Cavaliers in a four-game sweep to win their third NBA championship in 4 years. And thousands of fans have already lined the streets of Oakland this morning for today's Warriors victory parade. Here's fan Chris Archuleta this morning.
I almost get a little emotional thinking about it, about all the losing seasons that we were here, and we still supported them, and we rocked the Warriors when they were with the when they had Thunder and they had the Warriors old logo and all that other stuff.
Well, we're going to preview the festivities, and we want to hear from you. What were your highlights of the season and the finals? And is it too soon to talk dynasty? Call us now at our toll-free number. The number to call, 866-733-6786. Again, that's 866-733-6786. And coming to join us is C.W. Nevius. He's right here in studio with a sports columnist for the Santa Rosa Press-Democrat and longtime columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle. And, Chuck, good to have you back.
Good to be here. Thank you, Michael.
Well, let's begin with what we just heard. I mean, is this a dynasty? And if it is a dynasty, it's quite maybe too soon or premature?
Well, everyone wants to say it's too soon. I think dynasties are established down the road when you look back at it historically. But I think we have to say that the definition of dynasty is sustained excellence by a single group over time. And three final wins in four years, that sounds like a dynasty to me. It may be a modern dynasty, but until proven otherwise, they're the class of the NBA, they're class of professional basketball, the greatest basketball team in the world.
I was thinking in retrospect of how it could have gone a different way. I mean, in the first game especially, if J.D. Stevens had perhaps not dribbled,
That would have been handy if he'd realized what the score was. That would have been a nice touch. And I think we hear that a lot. We heard that with the Houston series as well, which went to seven games, and they were down by 11 at half, and all of that's valid, and I'm willing to accept all that. But at the end of the day, they won every one of those games, and there's something to be said for grit and determination. And you know, Branch Rickey said, "Luck is the residue of design," and I think that the scheme and the system that they had in place allowed them to win those games. And they did win those games. And we can say, what if? But the reality is, there's a parade in Oakland today, and there's none in Cleveland.
Now, what if Kyrie Irving had been playing?
Well, it's another what if. And I think that's exactly right. It's been an interesting series for because it's been Cleveland every single year, and every year Cleveland has changed in some way. And the idea, I just think it's fascinating, the idea that Kyrie Irving won the championship, the NBA championship, with that team and immediately asked to be traded says something about that Cleveland team and that Cleveland experience. I don't know how often that ever happens. Let me out of here. We just won the championship.
Well, and it's going to be probably imminent that LeBron would leave. Just think, if LeBron would sign with the Warriors, what would happen to the team at that juncture? I mean, this is just obviously, they're speculating many other teams, and certainly not the Warriors. But we have Mayor Schaff on the line, and let me bring her into this. Libby Schaff, good to have you with us.
It's fantastic to be here. It is such a gorgeous day in Oakland today. I mean, the whole city is just bursting with pride.
And again, Libby Schaff is the mayor of Oakland, and you are bursting with pride, too. But what about this team going to San Francisco to play now?
Well, I like to say the arena is leaving us, but they are not leaving the community. The Warriors are still our team. They are going to remain our team. I mean, honestly, we stole them from San Francisco in the first place. So they are truly a Bay Area team, and I am a devout regionalist, so we've got to think more of ourselves as a Bay region, and the Warriors just moving their arena to a different location is a small part of that.
And you seem elated. Let's talk about the favorite moment in the series for you, because I know you were a Warriors fan and watched assiduously, so let us know what was your favorite moment.
Well, it's hard to recover from that game in Houston where they went into overtime. That was pretty special. But, you know, I think it was game three. We called it the Durant dagger. There was something about just the way that they put in some of those audacious three-point scores that just, I never seen a team with so much kind of coordination and syncopation and so much love for the game, but just bravery, courage. And, you know, in Oakland, we love courage.
Well, you have, as you've said a number of times, that secret sauce in Oakland, and now the Warriors are a part of all that. Can you talk about what the team has meant to the city over the years?
Listen, you know, 4 years ago when we won that championship the first time and I had just become the mayor of Oakland, there was something about the whole world seeing just how beautiful our city is. And beauty, not just the architecture of downtown and our gorgeous lake that just sparkles in the middle of our city, but the people, what true diversity and inclusion looks like. That was such a moment of pride. And for the whole world to suddenly see Oakland in its beautiful light meant so much to me as a native, as someone who has lived in this city all my life, who's put up with the different negative rumors that you encounter when you're outside of this city. It just felt like this incredible turning point. And the amount of pride that our kids feel in seeing a team with such superstars, but they have so much humility. They put their egos aside. They play as a team, and they work so hard. And when they work hard and they play together, they accomplish amazing things.
And is it true you're going to be riding in a parade in a flame-spouting small snail car with MC Hammer?
Listen, I'm standing right next to my snail right now. We're all lined up, getting ready for the parade to begin. And, you know, why mess with success? 4 years ago, I was in my flaming snail car. It's my signature ride. It's a Burning Man art car that breathes fire, but it's in the shape of a giant metal snail. And MC Hammer, Oakland icon, someone I grew up just, you know, enthralled with as my parade partner. This will be our third parade together, and we are going to make it the best one ever.
Well, you've got about a million fans expected. Is the city prepared for that size crowd?
Yeah, yes, we are. And, you know, we have the good fortune of now being very experienced at putting on this event. So we are absolutely prepared. And I've got to, again, just say how beautifully and joyous Oakland celebrated with that Game 4 sweeping win. Just, you know, a lot of positivity, no vandalism, no violence, nothing. It was just a beautiful, happy moment. We expect the parade to be the same way. The only thing I'm worried about is, you know, bring water and put on sunscreen because it's hot.
Well, congratulations to the city of Oakland and to you, Mayor Shafton. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Michael. I hope that your forum listeners are taking a little bit of an intellectual break and having a spiritual vacation with this joyous celebration where we can just be all out sports fans today.
Delighted to have you. Thank you, and enjoy. We're going to talk now with KQED's Ryan Levy. He's at the parade. He's been talking to fans there. Ryan, welcome.
Thanks, Michael.
Can you give us a picture and also tell us what fans have been saying to you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is, Mayor Schaff is right. It is warm out here. It has gotten warmer as the day has gone on. There are a lot of folks here. I got here about 7:15, 7:30, and there were folks already lined up, thousands of them all along Broadway. I talked to one family who got up at 4 a.m. From Vacaville to get here for the parade. There are folks from all over the region. And fans really are, they're super excited. And I was talking to some of them about, you know, are they worried about, you know, the team moving in a couple of years? And I was really kind of surprised at how kind of at peace with it they were, and how, you know, they were just so excited about the win now and the team that they have now. And, you know, they were all saying they're still going to be fans You know, they don't fault the team for moving. They're just so excited and so happy to be here to celebrate the Warriors championship.
Well, what's the best sign you've seen?
I've seen some pretty great signs. One that I think, it's not the most artistic necessarily, but I think it was the one that I liked the most was it was just some of those pool noodles that kids play with in a swimming pool. And there was just some printer tape tied to the top or taped to the top. And there were the kids and the family had written their names and then their favorite player's name. So it was like Stephen plus KD. And so it was a lot. But that was, I think, you can see there are a lot of kids out here. And so I think, what the sign really shows, how much this team gets to kids of all ages, fans of all ages out here.
Well, enjoy the elation and the high spirits and the sunshine. And thank you for joining us. Again, that's Ryan Levy, reporter for KQED News. And Chuck Navias is with us in studio, sports columnist with the Santa Rosa Press Democrat. We're going to go up to the half hour, and then we're going to hear an amazing story, and I think a story that is extraordinary in many ways. Mark Lukacs, a local writer, wrote a memoir about his life and his wife and marriage. And you can join us right now to talk about sports, because that's what we're talking about right up to the half hour. If you have some thoughts about the Warriors series, or if you'd like to go on record here as telling us what was a particularly wonderful moment for you during this four-game sweep, and what your thoughts are and what your feelings are, feel free to join the program. Let me give you the toll-free number. It's 866-733-6786. We welcome your involvement, so please feel free to join us now. Again, you can call us at 866-733-6786 or email us, forum@kqed.org, or go right to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. And let me go back to C.W. Navias. Chuck Navias is here with us, as I said. We were talking a little bit before we went on the air about Steve Kerr, and any reflections on his role in all this?
Well, I think that, first of all, he's a remarkable guy as a coach. And what we were talking about earlier is his he won the award this year for the most cooperative coach with the media. And when he was given the award, the guy who gave him the award said, "Your quotes have always been interesting, they've been perceptive, and they've been fearless." And I think that's the rare quality. He was willing to take on a lot of these social issues and do it in a way that I think made a lot of sense. I'm very impressed with his intellect, and I think that's kind of a new trend that we're seeing around professional sports. Kyle Shanahan with the 49ers, another guy that he makes a lot of sense. You could sit down and talk to him. But I think Steve Kerr, his sense of humor combined with his intellect, combined with the ability to handle what is really a high-powered, highly paid, flighty group of individuals who easily could have gone another direction. And I think he held that together so well this year. We're only getting hints now of how difficult it really was to do. But I think he was someone who I'm not sure there is anybody else who could have brought this thing home 3 times out of 4 years.
I had the privilege of interviewing him, and I must tell you, candidly, impressed. He's an impressive guy.
He really is impressive.
LeBron used to talk about, having to have the physical and the mental, and he certainly brings a great deal of stature and importance mentally about that. But he's also very candid and almost fearless about stating his political views.
He does, and he just surprises you with his sense of humor. He's very witty, but he's very well-read and so forth. There was the coaches all hate these sideline interviews. They take place during the game. During a timeout, they go over there and somebody asks them a few questions. And earlier in the year, they had a terrible game. They were down 25 points, 30 points. And he went over to the sideline reporter and she put the microphone in his face and he said, "Well, I thought that went well." And she did not know what to say to that. It's just he's just very good about all those kinds of things. He just seems like a kind of guy that you'd like to spend some time with. I'm getting the sense that his health is improving. His back, of course, has been a problem, and he does not want to talk about it, so don't ask him. But I think you're getting hints and little indications that he's feeling better, and I think that's a great sign, too.
You wrote that 2015 was a miracle, 2017 was a vindication, this season was a grind. Why do you think it was so rough this year?
I think that I don't think anybody wants to go on record from the Warriors organization, but I actually heard them say, front office people say, it's almost a little boring. It's almost boring. I mean, it's a grind because there are so many games. The attention is so intense. The second guessing, the social media. But then to play the same team in the same buildings, a lot of the same players again, I think it was hard to motivate yourself to do it. Plus, if you play in the finals every year, you're playing more games than anybody else. The Cavaliers and the Warriors played more games than anyone else. And I think physically they got tired. And I think we saw it at the end of the season when they turned in some real stinkers of games that, as it turned out, had nothing to do with their position in the playoffs. And the players knew that. And Kerr actually called them out and said, this is an embarrassment. This is pathetic. And frankly, the players didn't respond very well. So I think there were moments when they really did find it to be a bit of a slog.
Here's a tweet from Matthew. Says, I'm not sure what Mayor Libyshev meant by prepared on your show, but they are not. Why would Oakland not double the number of trash and recycling containers around Lake Merritt today for the Warriors parade? All right, that's Matthew's tweet. And let me go to another question for Chuck Nevius. Team going to have to make any changes?
Yes, they are going to have to make some changes. And they're kind of doing it every year. I think it's a situation of the core players. I was going to say obviously. I'm not sure it is obvious. Kevin Durant has an opportunity to go somewhere else. It doesn't sound like he's going to. I think he likes this. I think he likes the big cityness of it. He's got a lot of interests. He's very interested in music. He's interested in Silicon Valley. He's an intriguing guy. He's at different times he's very vulnerable. At different times he's kind of defensive. But he's a talented, smart guy, and he fits into the Bay Area well.
Well, he was the target of a good deal of criticism during the playoffs after that shooting slump. I guess that's been vindicated in the race. He's the MVP for the second time in a row.
Well, and the thing I like about him is people said that. You know, you're shooting too much. You're shooting from the wrong places. You're taking difficult shots. You're not helping. And by the way, you're not playing very good defense on LeBron James. And at the end of this, he came back and said, you know what? Those people were right. We came into a tough series out of Houston. I wasn't mentally prepared. I did. I took bad shots. I shouldn't have done that. I mean, that's the kind of thing that if you're Steve Kerr, that warms the cockles of your heart. That's exactly what you want to hear from your player. And we hear it from Steph Curry. We hear it from Draymond Green. We hear it from Klay Thompson. We hear it from the bit players. It's a very difficult ethos to promote and to hang on to, and they've done it.
And speaking of, not necessarily bit players, but defense on LeBron, Iguodala makes a big difference, didn't he, in this series?
He does. Just as an observer, I'm concerned about his knee at his age. I wonder if he's going to be able to hold up to that. But he's, you know, the idea of savviness, I think, is sometimes underrated. And there was a big push in the playoffs when they started for the Boston Celtics. And I think the Boston Celtics are going to be a really exciting team. They've got a ton of potential. But, boy, when it came down to crunch time, they looked like what they were, which was a very young group of guys who were just feeling their way. And the Warriors didn't do that. They lost some games, but they didn't do that. And someone like Iguodala, he's been there. He's been through it. He's done it. You're not going to scare him. You're not going to impress him. He may get beat. He's going to get beat the right way. And that sets a tone, and I think it's really, really valuable. I hope his health holds up and he's able to come back. But, yeah, he was a big factor.
And who do you think is going to be the main competition in the year ahead? I mean, you mentioned the Celtics. Houston with a healthy Chris Paul?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I just kind of poo-pooed the idea of what if, you know, if they had Kyrie Irving. But I do think that when Chris Paul went down in that Houston series, it was a moment that kind of took the wind out of their sails. The coach, Mike D'Antoni, said that Chris Paul has said to him, if I can get healthy, we can win this thing. And I think that's how they felt. Now, whether they could have won it or not, I don't know, but that was a big deal. So, yeah, if LeBron James goes to Houston, that could be huge. The question is, does he want to stay in the East?
Well, he just built a home in Los Angeles. He's a movie star now.
Right? He's got home. I'm sure he's got homes everywhere. I don't know. I'll be interested to see what happens with LeBron. You know, let's stipulate, first of all, that he is the player of his generation. He is a phenomenal player. He averaged practically a triple-double. But he's not a lot of fun to play with. And I think that other teams may look very closely at that. He goes to Los Angeles and announces, you know, first of all, I'm going to play every minute of every game. I'm going to have the ball three-fourths of the time. I'll pass the ball to you, and then you make the shot. But basically, I'm in charge of that. And by the way, I'd like to tell Magic Johnson I'd like some input on the roster, because I had that at Cleveland. And I might even demand some trades, which I had at Cleveland. You know, so if you sign him,
You got a would-be player manager is what you've got.
Yeah, and you have to accept that that's who you've got. Now, he's a guy that's you know, the commissioner of basketball, Adam Silver, said at his press conference, LeBron has taken 49 different players to the NBA Finals. That's remarkable. So what's the X factor? It's LeBron. He can get you to the finals, but it's how it happens.
Here's a different kind of slant. Joe writes, the first game of the championship series was a Mary Magdalene moment. They got caught and almost went down, but with divine intervention, they survived. After coming to Jesus, the Dubs played right for the sweep, and that is as religious as it gets.
Well, I'm sure it was a religious experience for J.R. Smith. He'll never live that down. People are going to be asking him, do you know what the score is, for the rest of his life. And
yeah. Who's the guy in the Mets series that...
Bill Buckner.
Bill Buckner comes immediately to mind. He'll never live it down.
No, he'll never live it down. He'll never live it down. I just saw, it was when I was in Houston for the playoffs, I saw Chris Webber, who played for the Warriors for a while. But he famously, when he was playing for Michigan with the Fab Five, he called a timeout when they were out of timeouts. And he hears that everywhere he goes. Everywhere he goes, people are making a T sign with their fingers. And so, no, it's just never going to happen. And gosh, God knows it could have happened to any of us. I forget my golf score all the time. So, I don't know.
Purposely?
Sometimes. Sometimes.
We're talking to Chuck Nevy, a CW Nevy sports columnist with the Santa Rosa Press Democrat. How important is this pick, this draft pick that the Warriors have?
Well, I think it's a first round pick. It's really critical, I think, that if you look at, you know, there's so much talk about the Warriors being this super team and, oh, they've ruined the league and so forth. But let's remember, Steph Curry was a 7th-round pick. I think Klay Thompson was an 11th-round pick. Draymond Green was in the 20s. I mean, these mid-round picks are very important. And what you asked earlier about some changes, that whole end of the bench, I think we're going to see a lot of those people move. JaVale McGee, Manko, Zaza Pachulia, almost certainly David West. Somebody has to fill those spots. And you need production from your first-round draft choice pretty much right away. And second-round draft pick, too. So because of the way they play, because they play so many people, because they rely so much on their bench, these draft picks will be critical.
Let me give you a comment from Stacy. I may have asked the mayor and all that excitement and elation a little too early about the move to San Francisco, but this is, I think, a sentiment a lot of fans have. She writes, fans were so upset when the Raiders decided to leave and when the A's were considering moving to the South Bay. Why did the Warriors get to walk away with no outrage? They've abandoned Oakland after having so much success here.
Well, they have. Unfortunately, I have to say that is an outdated arena. It's not even close to the NBA standard. The Warriors insist, and there's no reason to doubt them, that 50% of their fans come from the San Francisco side of the Bay and 50% come from the east side of the Bay. So they've got that. I would also say the owners of the Warriors are building this arena with their own money. You know, it's a $1 billion arena. They bought the land. They're putting this thing up, and they're doing it on their own. And there's no way Oakland could have competed with that kind of an upscaled arena.
Chuck, got to say goodbye to you. Thank you for being with us. And let's hear from Brian Watt, who's at the parade route. Brian.
How are you?
Our KQED news anchor. Well, how are you? What are you seeing quickly?
Well, I'm at Broadway and Thomas Berkeley Way, sort of the northern end of the route where the parade will turn right. And I see a lot of people. I also see a very, very impressive, like, Hummer tank, giant black public safety vehicle from the police department. Very imposing. But it's a very, very orderly crowd. People are waiting really, really patiently.
Thank you, Brian. We're going to hear more, and we're going to hear an amazing story and inspiring when we return.